The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the January-February issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to begin on page 22 and 23. What if anything could be traded? Everyone has a dream trade. Typically, it's three or four disappointing players leaving their favorite team in return for someone else's best player. But to quote the famous philosopher SpongeBob SquarePants, this is a dream. You can do anything you want. So why not imagine something even more fantastic than Shohei Ohtani getting swapped for half a triple of bullpen? After all, teams can trade whatever they want. The New England Patriots sent the New York Jets their 2000 first-round pick for the opportunity to interview Bill Belichick for their head coaching job. The Milwaukee Brewers got reliever Tim Fortuno in 1989 for 144 baseballs and $2,500. Odd deals usually are like one of these two examples, lopsided or trivial. So, in the spirit of Mr. Squarepants, here are four outlandish trades that are win-wins, as mutually beneficial as they are unlikely. And this time, everything is on the table. Mascots, jerseys, colors, even topographical features. Memphis trades the Grizzlies' name. Calgary trades the Flames' name. An NHL team trading with an NBA team. Why not? Despite playing different sports, the Grizzlies and Flames have a similar history. The Grizzlies moved from Canada, specifically Vancouver, to the American South. The Flames did the opposite, moving from Atlanta to their current home in Calgary. Both teams kept their inherited mascots when they moved because both team names are fierce and cool. They don't make any sense, though. Even 10,000 years ago, when the grizzly bear roamed North America freely, it never reached as far south and as east-west as Tennessee. The state has plenty of black bears, but the only grizzlies play basketball. The Atlanta Flames name referenced the Battle of Atlanta, the Civil War siege that ended with the city ablaze. The name makes sense for cavalry, only insofar as their Alberta rivals have a highly flammable name, the Edmonton Oilers. Memphis didn't burn down during General William Tecumseh Sherman's march to the sea. It did feature a key naval battle earlier in the war. But in a league full of abstract, cool, non-sequitur nicknames, Utah Jazz, the Flames would be, well, Flames. Meanwhile, the grizzly returns to its natural Western Canadian habitat. The Oilers will still have plenty to fear. Let's get weird. Getting gritty. I have friends. I have enemies. They know who they are. Here's not enough weirdness. There's not enough weirdness in sports. That's not to say that sports themselves aren't a little odd. Imagine explaining the concept of going to a football game to an alien. Yeah, so thousands of people get together, many of whom put paint on their faces or wear giant blocks of cheese-shaped foam on their heads to scream for guys in very tight clothing who try to advance a ball that is purposely oblong-shaped so it won't bounce normally. And when things go bad, they yell at a man in a striped shirt. But once you accept that this universe exists, you have to concede that life inside it can become a little mundane. Sports are a massively big business. Not many athletes want to risk alienating their audience by being too different. Press conferences yield boring answers. Teams have the same attitude. The easiest way to appeal to a wide crowd is to play innings right down the middle. Be safe. Normal. Not weird. But there's hope. A beacon of bizarreness. Someone, thing, who just doesn't care what you think of him. A creature who embodies everything that's wonderfully odd about not just the world of sports, but the world. A beacon we should all aspire to follow. I'm speaking of course, Gritty. The Philadelphia Flyers mascot first took the ice in 2018. It was immediately apparent the giant furball didn't fit any kind of mold. According to his biography, he was forced to come to ground when construction on the Flyers arena uncovered his secret hideout. He likes to eat snow straight from the Zamboni. In his second appearance at a game, he body-checked a couple of fans competing in an on-ice race. They were in full goalie gear, and the hits were more like love taps. That is, if Gritty is truly capable of feeling love. Mascots have long been a strange part of sports. The phenomenon really took off in the 1970s with the bird then known as the San Diego Chicken, who showed up at a Chargers and Padres game. Why a chicken? Long story. But he resonated with fans. When the original chicken was fired, fans booed the replacement so hard the Padres had to bring him back. He was reborn on June 29th, 1979, when he hatched from an egg at a game. More than 40,000 people showed up for it. Gritty took things to a new level, though. He made his initial entrance swinging from a wrecking ball like Miley Cyrus. He shot a team employee with a T-shirt cannon. He dressed up as Gritty Klaus, and instead of spreading holiday cheer, he tackled a skating Santa and chucked a wreath at him. He may seem like a buffoon, but according to the creature himself, he excelled in calculus in school, and he has a refined palate, preferring to dine on imported pan-seared tuna steak with fennel sauce's broccoli rabe. He'd like you to know he isn't allergic to applesauce. Let's face it, he's weird. Really weird. But that's what we love about him, and we're not the only ones. According to the Flyers, in the 2018 elections, he received write-in votes for 46 states. Will he one day lead the country? Probably not. You have to be 35 to be president, and the G-Man refuses to divulge his age. But he's still someone, something, make that we can all look up to. So in Gritty's honor, we're celebrating all that's delightfully different in the world of sports. Settle in. Grab a snack, fried grasshoppers, anyone, and let's get weird. A very weird question and answer with Gritty. How old are you exactly? Very good question. Why did you live in a secret hideout under the current location of the Wells Fargo Center? It was a game of hide and go seek, gone on too long. We've all been there. What do you eat on an average day? The normal stuff. Grand Slam breakfast, salad for lunch, imported pan-seared tuna steak with a side of fennel sausage and broccoli rabe for dinner. What's your earliest memory? A thunderstorm woke me up in the middle of the night once. It was around 4 a.m. Have you ever thought about shaving your beard? I've thought about it, but it's one of my top 8 facial features. What's something most people don't know about you? Most people don't know that I'm not allergic to applesauce. Do you have a best friend among the other mascots? Do you have a rival? I have friends. I have enemies. They know who they are. Do you have a secret talent? No, I choose not to keep my talent secret. Who cut your hair? How does that work? I groom myself. Got a good deal on sheep shears a few years back. It's a messy process, but it needs to be done. What's the secret to happiness? Hazelnut cocoa spread. If you could have dinner with 4 people or mascots or animals, who would you pick? Easy, the entire cast of Shrek. Do you go to school? What was your favorite subject? My favorite subject was detention. My best subject was Calculus 4. Strangest sport. The phrase underwater basket weaving doesn't refer to a real sport. It's a stand-in for any college course that seems too easy or frivolous. Were underwater basket weaving an actual competitive activity, however, it wouldn't even come close to the weirdness sport currently out there. Among the oddest of the odd, a spiritual cousin to underwater basket weaving is extreme ironing. Athletes take their ironing boards and wrinkly shirts underwater into blizzards or up mountains. This activity supposedly started in England, yet you rarely hear it's coming home, said about doing laundry. Say cheesy. It's never okay to say anyone looks weird, unless you're talking about the Santa Clara men's cross-country team. They wear it as a badge of honor. For a decade, the guys have had a tradition of growing odd facial hair, giving themselves bad haircuts, and smiling creepily for their team photos. They see it as a bonding exercise. We think it's cool they're secure enough not to care about how they look. He really said that. Soccer legend Eric Cantona's 2019 UEFA award speech was as strange as it gets. We tried to translate. Well read. Cantona, who played the 16th century man in the movie Elizabeth, quotes Shakespeare's King Lear here to bemoan mortality. 2. Cy Pfeiffer. The French legend was accepting the UEFA President's Award, but he used his speech to predict a future in which medicine cures aging. Dire prediction. The former Manchester United fixture speculates that without aging, death will be tragic, but not rare. The crowd was confused. 4, stuck the landing. Empires will fall, science and technology will advance beyond our wildest dreams, but Cantona will always love soccer. Beautiful. As flies to wanton boys, we are for the gods. They kill us for their sport. Soon the science will not only be able to slow down the aging of the cells, soon the science will fix the cells to the state, and so we will become eternal. Only accidents, crimes, wars will still kill us, but unfortunately, crimes and wars will multiply. I love football. Thank you. Minor league baseball teams don't draw massive crowds or have huge television deals. Much of the money they make comes from selling merchandise. And if there's one thing people like, it's a shirt with a weird mascot on it, which explains why we've seen teams called the Yard Goats, Sea Unicorns, and Sod Poodles. But the weirdest of all might just be the Rocket City Trash Pandas, a AA team that came into existence in 2020. First, the Rocket City part. The team plays just outside of Huntsville, Alabama, which is known as the Rocket City for its role in building the vehicles that took astronauts to the moon. As for the Trash Panda part, that's a nickname for a raccoon, which is known for being a clever animal. Put them together and you get a truly weird name, but one that works, with a logo featuring a raccoon wearing a trash can lid on his head, blasting off on a rocket. The team raked in $4 million in merchandise sales before it played the first game. Well done. Snack time. Tastes like chicken, we hope. You probably heard the line in the old song, "Take Me Out to the Ball Game," that says, "Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back." If you've been to a ballpark recently, you know that you now have so many more food options. Many of them involve cramming as many calories as possible into one dish. Burgers inside of pizzas, fried brownies, hot dogs with peanut butter. But the most non-traditional might be something that's actually not bad for you. Toasted grasshoppers. The Seattle Mariners introduced the protein-forward snack in 2017. Called chapulines. The critters are served with the chili lime salt. It's actually a popular dish in Latin American communities, and they are sold at a stand in T-Mobile Park named for Hall of Famer Edgar Martinez. The chapulines became so popular that for a time the concession company had to limit the number of servings sold each game to 312, and out of Martinez, .3112 career batting average. That led to a feeding frenzy of sorts. Fans would line up before the first pitch to make sure they were able to procure their crunchy snacks and to make sure they wouldn't have to settle for boring old peanuts. Weirdest non-Gritty mascot. Don't worry, Gritty, you're our top guy. But there are plenty of other delightful, wacky mascots who deserve a mention. Among the oddest is Big Red, the physical manifestation of Western Kentucky University. One might assume WKU had the nickname Big Red, like Grinnell, and worked backward to figure out a mascot that was both big and red. Curiously, though, Western Kentucky's teams are called the Hilltoppers and the Lady Toppers. Cornell's mascot is a bear. What's a Hilltopper anyway? When they came up with Big Red in the 1970s, the marching orders were no hillbilly stereotypes and no animals, but a creature that looks like Pac-Man ate Grimace. Sure. Weird hill to die on. Before they whacked trash cans to tip pitchers and had their computer system hacked by the St. Louis Cardinals, the weirdest thing about the Houston Astros was Towels Hill, the sudden incline at the back center field at Minute Maid Park. Named after then-team president Towels Smith, the 90-foot-wide, 30-degree slope featured a flagpole in front of the wall. The flagpole was mercifully padded. Towels Hill made plenty of center fielders look foolish, and at least a few looked brilliant. Some of the greatest center fielders of all time, Carlos Beltran, Andrew Jones, Mike Trout, make signature catches in Houston. The salty taste of victory. Some people love mayonnaise on a sandwich. Others, like South Carolina football coach Shane Beamer, don't. So when Beamer's Gamecocks got invited to the Duke's Mayo Bowl in 2021, he had a choice to make. The sponsor offered to donate $10,000 to charity on behalf of the winning coach if he would allow himself to be drenched in mayonnaise after the game. "I'm not a big mayonnaise guy," Beamer said before the game. "I mean, I'll gladly take one for the team on that one if it means we won a football game, but oof." Well, Beamer's squad beat North Carolina 38-21, and the coach allowed himself to be doused with more than 4 gallons of the watered-down condiment. Pure mayo proved too thick. "It was everything I dreamed of," Beamer said afterward. "It was a little heavy, for sure. I'm a little weighted down here in the back." Beamer might not have been too excited about the gooey bath, but his counterpart was relatively envious. Tar Heels coach Mack Brown said before the game, "We need to win." I said somewhere I'd let someone hit me with a frying pan for 365 days if we won. Mayonnaise is easy. Weirdest play. Sometimes the best strategy a team can employ is chaos. We've all seen it at the end of a football game when a team is desperate to score as the clock runs out and players throw laterals all over the place. But sometimes laterals aren't enough. In 1982, Stanford was leading Cal 2019 with 4 seconds left. The Bears took the kickoff and began tossing the ball around as the clock hit zero. That didn't mean the game was over. But no one told that to the Stanford band. They marched onto the field and creating even more chaos, allowing Cal's Kevin Moen to waltz into the end zone, where he ran over a trombone player for the winning TD. Pretty peculiar positions. There are weird positions in sports, like the long snapper or the bullpen catcher. Then there are positions known to attract unusual individuals. Relief pitchers and hockey goalies, both known for their isolation from their teams and their superstitions, boast the kookiest characters. Freakiest finish. What constitutes a weird score in the NFL? Since points can come in increments of 6, 3, 2, and 1, there are plenty of scores that have never happened or have happened only once. A final of 34-7, for instance, is unusual. But it's hardly inconceivable. One team scored a touchdown, their opponents scored 5, but missed an extra point. A 6-6 finish in today's NFL? Now that's weird. It's happened just once since 1972 in 2016 Cardinals-Seahawks game. Modern offenses make ties rare and low-scoring ties basically impossible. In 2016, Seattle and Arizona combined for 700 yards of offense, but Arizona missed a chip-shot 24-yard field goal to win. Seattle answered with a 28-yard miss. Oops! Brian Wilson. His jet black beard and bright orange cleats made it very clear Wilson represented the Giants. His reputation as a wild man intimidated opponents, amused fans, and entertained teammates. Turk Wendell, best known as a Cub and Met, Wendell wore a number 99 jersey on an animal tooth necklace. He pitched with a mouthful of licorice, brushed his teeth between innings, and once signed for $9,999,999.99. Bill Lee, better known as Spaceman Lee, this opinionated Boston Red Sox legend had no filter in the clubhouse or on the mound. No one could predict what would come out of his mouth or his pitching hand. Spookiest stat. Any Portland Trailblazers and Brooklyn Nets fans who checked the online box score of their favorite team's November 24, 2017 game probably suspected a website glitch. The teams both shot the same percentage from the field, from the free throw line, and from behind the arc. Most amazingly, the teams had a different number of attempts in all three. Field goal percentage, 50. Free throw percentage, 71.4. 3-point percentage, 40. Self-swap. Players have been traded for all sorts of things. Other players, money, equipment, the right to talk to a coach. But what about someone getting traded for himself? Is that even a trade? Occasionally, deals include a player to be named later if teams are in a hurry to get a trade finalized and can't agree on all the details, or if a player isn't yet eligible to be traded. In July 2005, the Detroit Tigers acquired utility infielder John McDonald from the Toronto Blue Jays for a player to be named later. Following the season, the teams agreed on the player, McDonald, who was then back to Canada with a little cash, in effect meaning he was traded for himself. He stuck around in Toronto for 6 more seasons before the Jays traded him to the Arizona Diamondbacks, this time for good. Ilya Zergalov. When the Flyers appeared on HBO's 24/7, Biz was the breakout star. On the show, he famously mused about the size of the humongous big solar system compared to the much larger universe. Ken Dryden. Dryden isn't so much weird as unusual for an athlete. He won 6 Stanley Cups with Montreal, wrote the best-selling book, The Game, got a law degree, and was elected to Canada's Parliament. Giles Gratton. Nicknamed Gratuny, the loony also the title of his book, Gratton boasted a trademark tiger mask while in goal. Gratton believed goaltending wasn't a calling, but a punishment for a past life. The Blazers won the game. Thankfully, Brooklyn had 58 rebounds and Portland's 56. Otherwise, we'd think the Matrix is real, which it totally is. Bizarre boo-boos. There's no telling what can hurt you. The choice of the animal here isn't weird. Timsa Park, the name really means Crocodile Park in Bursa, Turkey, houses the soccer team Bursaspor, whose nickname is the Green Crocodiles and whose players wear green kits. What's weird is that any team would even think to make their stadium resemble their mascot, and we mean that in the most admiring way possible. Among North American stadiums, only the Scotiabank Saddle Dome in Calgary looks like anything other than a big building, and the team that plays there isn't even cowboy-themed. Read more about the origins of the Flames' nickname up on page 22. The Buffalo Bills are planning to build some big generic glass building by 2026. Scrap it. We want a big buffalo. A 40-year-old minor leaguer named Clarence Blathan suffered a bite on his backside when he put his false teeth in his back pocket and slid into second base. Barfing. Colorado Rockies pitcher Josh Altman wound up on the disabled list after straining a muscle while vomiting during a bout of food poisoning. Shredding. Detroit Tigers pitcher Joel Zamaya missed part of the 2006 playoffs because he hurt his hand playing Guitar Hero. It's a killer game, he later explained. Shredding Part 2. After seeing motivational speakers rip a phone book in half, pitcher Steve Sparks tried to replicate the feat and dislocated his shoulder. Weirdest uniforms. Longtime baseball owner Bill Veeck had some weird ideas in his day, including letting fans vote on whether his team should bunt or steal a base. But his oddest move was to outfit his team in shorts in 1976. It made sense, sort of. The weather can get hot in the summer months. Players should not worry about their vanity, but their comfort, Vic says. If it's 95 degrees out, then an athlete should be glad to put on short pants and forget his bony knees. Wearing shorts could have made sliding difficult. But in their first game in them, the White Sox stole a season-high 5 bases. The experiment lasted just 3 games, but Chicago won 2 of them in a season in which they finished 64-97. Electric slide, baseball's strangest superstition. In 1929, Lou Gehrig had become one of the best baseball players alive. It's hard to argue with the results. Gehrig won 4 more World Series with the Yankees. I believe in food, lots of it, Mike Gehrig said. Lou started in as a baby to eat all he could hold. He didn't become an athlete on spinach. Nope, the eels played a significant role, too. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. The number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.